Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On the road and back in the win column.
Ooh, all right. The adrenaline coursing through our veins. There you have it, Joe Davis. On the call, Houston Astros. Here they come. Here they come. They're not going down quietly. Now down 2-1 to the Rangers after winning Game 3, beating Max Scherzer. So there you go. And now we have another great day of baseball. Phillies and Diamondbacks are back in Arizona. We'll see what that crowd's like. And, of course, big game 4 of that the American League Championship Series. Well, speaking of big things, number one, baseball isn't boring. Huge. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. It's a Twitter account, social account, Instagram account, the whole works. Also, thank you to FanDuel. FanDuel.com/boring. As I sit here in just a mere matter of hours, I'm going to catch up with our gambling expert, Jonathan Papelbon, who has placed a bet in the middle of the season on the Philadelphia Phillies that if the Phillies win the World Series, he wins $150,000. That's crazy. That's national news. And you know what? Right now, you have to think that they're the favorites. But we'll see. Well, all right. We have the playoffs going on. We have all that excitement. But we also, it is of the utmost importance that at this time of year, with the regular season ending, with only a few teams left, and with the Dodgers out, we have to check in with the Godfather. Yep. The guy who spawned the baseball isn't boring movement, Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's back. We sit down with Joe Kelly. I mean me, sitting down with Joe Kelly to talk about a lot of things. And you know how it goes with Joe. How it goes with Joe is it's always entertaining. Yep, and this is no exception. We talk about his potential retirement. We talk about his potential free agency. We talk about life in the bullpen, about being heckled. We talk about how the heck he's throwing the ball so well. We talk about what happened to the Dodgers. We talk about what happened when Dave Roberts took the ball from him in his last appearance of the year, why he was smiling, why he was grimacing or smiling, whatever it was. We talk about all that. We talk about all that and much, much more. It's another great appearance by the guy who was the first guest ever on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. And the guy who, like we said, gave birth to the movement. Here you go, Joe Kelly.
All right. Congratulations, Joe. You made it through a season.
Barely, bro. A couple aisle stands. A couple of conversations of my wife talking me off the ledge if I was going to keep playing or not.
Really?
No, nah, I wasn't that bad, but it was like, I'm not going to the field.
It was, I mean, you knew coming in that it was going to be a weird year because you never had a year where you wrote a book before, but it was, forget that aside, it must have been the most bizarre year you've ever had, right? Correct?
Yeah, it was a busy year, that's for sure. Had a baby, book, got traded. It was pretty wild.
You had a mural. You had a fake background. You have a house. So it literally looks like someone painted a background in back of you.
It's creepy.
It's kind of creepy.
It's a real background. It's the back of
you. It kind of is creepy. Listen, congratulations. Last I saw you, everybody was celebrating you at Dodger Stadium. Mural, bobblehead night.
That was the last time we saw each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought I'd see you again.
Yeah. Well, you get to do the playoffs still. We don't. So now I'm outside watching Knox just jerk around, not do his homework. So that's fun.
I'm doing my homework.
So as you sit here, like, what's it feel like? Does it feel like, can you say, holy mackerel? Like, that was a bizarre year? Or are you just like, this, let me sleep, let me take care of the kids, let me help Knox with this homework? Like, can you actually, like, soak in what you went through? Because I think I'm asking that because I think there's another book in your family here.
There's another what?
There's another book. There's another book in you for this year alone. Holy mackerel.
No, after I got traded, I felt like everything was pretty normal. Like, it doesn't even feel like the season started nor ended. It feels like, you know, every single day I was kind of the same thing, and I would just have to drive to the park and, you know, pitch in a baseball game. But since I've been home in California, everything's kind of been a lot better. You know, everyday life is a lot easier on, you know, the whole family. But, you know, after I got traded, it was kind of, you know, the new normal of being back home and enjoying that. And then it was like, oh crap, I gotta get on the road. I gotta go to Dodger Stadium. You know, we have a game, or hey, we got a playoff game. So it was it's definitely fun and something that's gonna be big for me next year. You know, whether or not the Dodgers do pick up our option.
Are they gonna pick up your option? What's your vibe?
No idea. I mean, I would if I was the owner. Who wouldn't want to sign Joe Kelly? You know what I mean?
I want to
play close to home. So, you know, if it's not the Dodgers, you know, it's going to be local teams, you know, Angels or Diamondbacks or Padres or, you know, anywhere close to home, because I'm not going to be going anywhere far away from my family. You know, Chicago was fun, but, you know, four children and Knox, you know, now playing his travel ball team and, you know, Knox being in school, and, you know, I want him to be normal and have a normal life with all his friends. Like, I don't want to have him pick up and leave again. You know what I mean? So, it's going to be one of those things where, like I said, it's going to be somewhere local. And if it's the local teams who don't want me, you know, that is a good showing of, you know, that the rest of the league probably wouldn't want me. You know what I mean? So, I've been at this point in my career where, you know, I've done pretty much, you know, as much as I wanted to accomplish in the game. You know, I want to keep playing as much as, you know, my family allows me to. And I joke around with the team and the guys, you know, all the time, where it was like, well, if we won the World Series, right, I definitely was like 100% retiring. But
you said you can't retire.
You know, I kind of wanted to go out on my own and be the only guy in the history of the game to be a retired that could still throw 101. So I thought that would have been kind of interesting.
But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, like, so at the
but
end.
But that'd be fun. Like, people would be so upset. Like, you could throw 101. I'm like, yeah, I'm retired. Like, that's pimp. That's kind of sick.
Yeah, you could go to the fair and win a lot of bets.
I can't wait to dominate. You know, usually guys dominate, like, Sunday league when they're done playing baseball. But they're throwing, like, 85 tops. I'm going to be ripping 101 still.
but seriously, like, so that's the thing, is that the way that you ended, listen – I mean, I'm no geography major, but I do know there's certain the teams that you mentioned. I would imagine if you have your guys go to those teams and say, hey, I throw 101. Hey, I'm really good. I don't know if you saw that I was really good at the end of the season. Yeah. That one of those, I mean, you can say, well, nobody wants – one of those teams are going to want you.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be worth it. You know, I'm not going to – I mean, I could – every team would let me play for free, right? I mean, or let me play for whatever. You know what I mean? But, like, it's got to be worth it. Like, if it's not worth it, then I'd rather just stay at home. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be a team who's, you know, obviously competitive, you know, a team that is trying to win. You know, it's not like I'm not searching just for money because I'm set. I don't have to work anymore. You know what I mean? But it's got to definitely be worth it. And the way that I see, like, you know, I came out of the Dodgers and I was a little banged up and, you know, they're like, hey, let's be smart. We're going to win the division. So let's just give you time off and get it strong. And I was like, cool. And, you know, it helps. Like, I could have came back a lot sooner, but we didn't obviously need it. So, you know, I feel like I threw the ball well for them. I mean, I think this is my best year statistically ever. You know, I said that last year about the peripherals, and I think this one's even better, you know. And then I went over the Dodgers. We kind of simplified my repertoire. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I went with two pitches predominantly. And if I got in trouble or, you know, if I got the long AB, we would kind of switch and go to multiple pitches. But, you know, my strikeouts went up, you know, slug, velo. I mean, this is the hardest velo. I mean, I'm 35, and my average velo, I broke my average velo for like 2.17, I think. I think it was like 99.1, and I averaged this year like 99.2. So it's all good positive signs, but it's ultimately up to, you know, if I mentally want to do it again, or, you know, I enjoy being, you know, coach and helping travel ball. And
yeah, but man, I'm telling you, it's you can say that. There's no, as you said, I don't know if there's anyone in the history of baseball, and maybe this is why you want to do it. Nobody in the history of baseball
retires throwing triple digits.
Nobody.
Not one person. Not one person. You can't find one person.
No.
And no. I'd be the first. I think it's kind of funny.
I do love it.
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Because if you could throw 101, you're not retiring. Like, that's why I think it's funny.
What is?
I edited him in. That's the Zoom background. That's not even my son. That's fake. That's so, CGI.
He was doing the Freddie Freeman dance. Is that what it was?
He was. Freddie dance is viral. We do it on our travel ball team.
Do you? One was like seven major leaguers? Or serves as your coaching
staff? That's the Scottsdale one. That's the Scottsdale one.
Oh, okay. I got you.
We're here in California.
We're
in California. Rental house.
Yeah. It looks like a green screen, bro.
It does. It's a fake background.
It's not fake. It's real. Look at it.
By the way, I was going to say, like, I had Brock Holt on the podcast the other day, and he was wearing a T-shirt.
It's real. Look, he just ran back there.
There he is. He's locked into his homework, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got four problems since we started, and he's on the fourth finally.
Listen, baseball's been boring. That is best for homework procrastination. Brock Cole was on the podcast, so he was wearing That was pretty good. He was wearing a T-shirt for the entire podcast with your wife's face on it.
Yes, he still has it. He loves it.
I know. He was putting his name in the ring for the Red Sox GM.
Maybe for Brock to do it, we could split time.
There he goes.
I think I could do a pretty good job.
But you actually, I go to the, like, when you were drawn back and you said, you told me you felt better at the end than you had. Like, what was that? Just
my elbow, rest. My body started feeling better. The strength came back. You know, inflammation went away. You know, everything felt better, even into the playoffs. You know what I mean? I was still doing my job and still doing it better than I ever have. You know, I give a lot of credit to the Dodgers and one person in particular who is, you know, Jonathan Erb. And he's one of my favorite human beings that I've known, but he's also, like, one of the best PTs, you know, in the business. His knowledge and stuff and, you know, the way that he addressed, you know, my problem after we saw, you know, a doctor, the way he addressed my problem and kind of went through rehab and kind of slow play and make sure we have everything dialed in because we knew we were going to the playoffs, right? It just was kind of a short-lived trip. Like, you know, I got traded to, you know, pitch, but obviously, you know, perform in the postseason. that was ultimately why, you know, a guy like myself got traded over, you know, to the Dodgers. But, you know, I think so with that time frame we had in line, it kind of all matched up with, you know, the way we were going to finish the regular season, you know, map out the outings a little bit and then go from there. But, yeah, they did a great job. Jonathan Erb was awesome. Dave Bonin, he, you know, he was with me every single day. And, you know, that's one of the main reasons I would love to, you know, go back to the Dodgers. Obviously, the ball's in their court. They have an option, you know, team option.
Yeah, but the way that you pitched, man, like, I'm not just saying this.
I think it's a bargain.
It's not that.
Listen, I mean, that's the market value for guys that do what I do.
And as long as it,
right?
Yes.
Or what I do, they say they don't pick it up. Say no one picks it up. I want to take a page out of Rich Hill's notebook, but I don't think it's very reasonable for Rich to do it. But I like what he says, where he wants to play half the year.
Oh, half the year. Already.
Yeah, but I think I have a little bit more pull on that. Like Rich, not to be like, hey, I don't know if teams are running.
By the way,
but yeah, I think my performance half the year might be a little better.
Well, I'll say this: you guys share the same agency, the same agents, mm-hmm. and Rich had revealed that plan to me.
Yeah, I think it's a great plan for me.
Yeah, except it wasn't too long after that where I think the agent said, Rich, you might not want to say that.
Yeah, right? I think it's amazing.
No, I think maybe he'll do it this time. You can do it.
Yeah, he should. Oh, I could easily do it. I mean, if you were like, hey, do you want Joe Kelly for 40 straight innings, like healthy, like he'll give you all he has for 40 innings, we'd be like, absolutely. And then you don't have to pay me half.
But you're saying all this, like, I don't know how much, I don't know. Like, your family's a big family, so obviously you want to be around your family. But, like, yeah, how much, like, when it gets closer to baseball, you know.
It doesn't change.
It doesn't?
No.
All
right. You know my personality. It doesn't change.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just want to go out and win. Like, I don't want to waste my time not winning. You know, I had a miserable time not winning in Chicago. Like, I don't want to waste half of my life for a year or however long it is, you know, to just lose and get your ass kicked every day. You know what I mean? Like, that's not fun. I'd rather just sit at home.
Give me the moment, because I know there was a moment, and you've never told me there was a moment, but I'm going to guess there was a moment where you turned to Ashley and you said, I'm retiring.
I've joked about it a million times.
Now, give me the most serious moment.
You'd have to ask her. There's been multiple serious moments where I'm like, she's like, no, I don't want you to do it yet. Like, we're always like getting like some kind of argument. Well, I'm not playing, so it's fine. She's like, no, don't do it yet. The kids want to see you play. And I'm like, well, I'm done. Like messing around, but like kind of serious. So it just depends. I mean.
Don't retire.
Knox always tells me don't retire.
Don't retire. Yeah, Knox doesn't want you to retire. Are you kidding me? Knox, you get all that free stuff.
It's like, yeah, he's like, hey, my dad plays baseball.
Yeah, well, I would too. My dad played baseball. Yeah, so, I mean, not every kid gets to run out in the field and jump into the pitcher's arms. I mean, let's go. Right?
Your homework.
Did you ever almost retire in the middle of this year?
No, I wouldn't have been able to retire. They would probably restricted this to me.
Oh.
There's been thoughts, yeah, but I never was.
Yeah.
I never had anything.
Because I know, like, you know, like when you're running off the mound to change your groin girdle, and.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you had. There's a
dude, the Dodgers thought I was trying to put on sticky stuff.
Oh, that's what they said when they saw you? So,
yeah, like, go put on some, like, sticky stuff. I was like, bro, I played with you 3 years now. Like, you know I don't use sticky stuff. I have a two-seamer. Like, that would be, like, what do you call it? It'd be, like, a negative effect. Because two-seamer, you want no spin, right? You want no spin to make it move.
Right.
Like, why would I use stick on a two-seamer?
And, by the way, so, in case people don't know, that was a game. It was the night we went out to dinner. And yeah. It was that June? June, you pitched against the Red Sox. You sprinted off the mound. Nobody knew what you were doing, and you were changing like the harness for your groin or whatever. And the best part about that was
I was doing the broadcast that day.
Cora was just laughing. Cora was like, I have to go out there and talk shit, like, to stick up for my team. But he knew I was like, I wasn't like, he knew it was a serious thing.
You know what yeah. I mean? The best part was, and after you came out, so no one knew what was going on. Like, it was bizarre, right? But
yeah,
so,
but I called time out and I talked the umpire behind, you know?
Yeah, but still, no one knew. Like, everyone's looking at, so I'm on the broadcast and I broke the story because you texted me in the middle of the game. I said, "Why did you? What happened?" So it's
yeah, yeah. And I said I had to take off my
brace,
my wrap.
Yeah.
But it was comfortable, and like I was like, "Hey, can I go change this thing like off my uniform to the umpire, like my groin?" And he was like, "Is it like medical?" I said, "Well, yeah, I have a pulled groin, and I have this really taped up and wrapped." And he's like, "Yeah, you can." And so I looked down and I was about to take off my look down real quick, and I was like, "Oh, I'm on the field." And I was like, "All right, I'll be right back." And so I had to like jog off the field because I couldn't get up there. But I almost did, like, not thinking.
I
ran to the bathroom and just unwrapped it as fast as I could and came back out.
That's chapter 5 in a damn near perfect game too. That's a great moment. I talked to your guy at Burger with the Marlins. Yeah. And I said last time I saw you, you were out to eat. We were eating same night. And I broached the fake paying for the check with him. What he would do. He had a good one.
What did he do?
He says, pretend like you can't that you can't get the wallet out of your pocket. Like your pants are too tight.
Come on, Berg.
So you made it through the season. You congratulations with that. Honestly, it was a wild ride. I know that, you know, it was a wilder ride that, you know, you could even let on, but it was crazy year. But you know, the fact that you've landed here, I assume that you can lift your arm and you feel good. You're throwing 101. By the way, can you tell the celebration story now?
What celebration story?
About the t-shirt. Remember? We were talking about...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Post about champagne celebrations.
Oh yeah, you're gonna out me in front of all friends.
Well, it doesn't matter now, does it?
Yeah, we're not getting sprayed.
What?
Well, I mean, I guess we're not getting sprayed anymore.
Right.
I mean, so what was that for? The division?
Division.
Yeah, we won the division. We celebrated. I guess it's always fun to celebrate, but like. Unless you haven't read my book, people wouldn't know, but so obviously I'm sober. I don't drink or I don't smoke or I don't do anything. I'm a completely sober guy. That's probably why I pitch so angry because, you know, I have no vices to like go relax after the game. I just have all this built up anger. I probably need to figure out something to do with that. The anger should probably talk to somebody. So I was in like a weird mood and, you know, I was like, all right, I'm all fine to celebrate. And so I usually stay in the back. So when we pop bottles, I pop the bottle and I spray and I get out of there. So I sprayed and got out of there, right? And I went to the clubhouse kitchen where I could be safe. And I was like, man, I'm hungry. So I'm going to grab these two slices of pizza. And so I was like, man, if someone catches me not celebrating eating this pizza, I'm going to be in deep shit. Like, I'm going to get crushed. So I didn't have an ounce of liquid on my body, not one. And so I was like, what can I do? And I saw the kitchen sink right there next to the pizza, right? And so I was like, oh, this is brilliant. This is a brilliant idea. So I was like, this is what I'm going to do. So I took off my hat, finished one slice of pizza, put it down. And I was like, I took off my shirt. I was like, I'm taking off my shirt. I took off my shirt. The the division winning shirt, right? I put it in the sink, and then I turned both faucets on, hot and cold, because I didn't want a cold t-shirt. So I made it like kind of lukewarm, right? Started wringing out my shirt, put it in there, turned the sink off, wringed it all out. The whole thing was wet, perfectly wet, right? And so then I got the shirt and I put it back on my head. And then I got water and I put it on my hair. So it looked like I got absolutely demolished with champagne, right? But I really didn't get sprayed one time. And so I finished my second slice of pizza and I go back out with the boys. And I'm like cleaning up like, oh, my eyes burn. Like all this stuff. And I told my wife and she was like, I can't wait to tell everyone. So next time you celebrate, they crush you. So I faked getting soaked, right? It's brilliant. So whoever, all you veterans out there, if you don't want to get soaked or sprayed in the eye, just do what I do. Your shirt. The only problem I did, I ended up doing the whole thing, right? I didn't get sprayed. And so I went to go change and I looked down and I go, my pants are completely dry, but my top's wet. Like, if someone would have noticed the discrepancy of wetness to dryness, they'd have been like, how's that possible? I don't think they would have thought, like, I faked got wet, right? But still, I knew going, like, damn, next time I should, like, pour water on my pants or something, too, to, like, up the ante a little bit to make it look more believable. But, yeah, so I got out scot-free without getting soaked, without getting champagne in the eye, without getting beer. Yeah. So it was a brilliant play.
You're revolutionizing baseball. I mean, honestly,
I'm changing the celebrations. One,
you one are. It's like it is. So that's this book, right? So yes. So as we sit here, last night, I was thinking of you because I went out before the game, the Phillies game two.
Yeah,
and I went out to the bullpens. Because Merrill Kelly had basically said, hey, you know, the crowd, it's not any better than the WBC against Venezuela. So I wanted to see the Citizens Bank Park people, because I remember you talking about that, right, the Citizens Bank Park bullpen.
Yep.
And you told the story.
You got the Embry one?
Yeah. Should I read it?
Yeah, you should read it.
All right, hold it on. Because this is my contribution to the audiobook. I remember one time in Philly, this is like, wow, this is so well written already. I remember one time in Philadelphia where the fans are right on top of the visitors' bullpen, and one guy was all over one of my teammates, Heath Embry. Heater, as we called him, is a great guy with a real dry sense of humor, but hardly possessed the kind of personality that is going to fire back at hecklers. Hey, Embry. You only have a few thousand followers on Instagram. My sister has more than you. You're not cool. This guy was just relentless on Heater with that kind of stuff. Well, I look up and see the guy was wearing these really baggy basketball shorts, and anyone down below could see right up into him. One look at his wardrobe, and I knew exactly what I was going to do if he kept badgering Heath. Sure enough, Heater walks out to stretch, and here comes that guy again. Hey, Embry, you're so skinny fat, your body looks like mashed potatoes. I immediately pop out and yell up with an entire collection of fans hovering, shut the fuck up, you're body shaming my friend. Guess what? We can all see up your shorts right now, and everyone, you can see you have a real problem down below. You could not only hear the collective gasp from the stands, but it was impossible not to notice that the girl this guy was with bursting out in laughter. Everyone in the bullpen started losing it, with mild-mannered Embry even mustering up, this is my favorite part, yes, small wiener. whose reaction was just as classic as the insult itself, literally running away in shame. Last paragraph. Sometimes fans have to be reminded that we do have the ability to listen and speak, even while wearing a big league uniform. One thing I've come to realize is those wake-up calls come in all different forms and level of intensity. Very well said, very well written, and also Yeah, I was thinking of that because I went out there and they were waiting for Merrill Kelly, right? And I had never been out there, so I didn't really have a sense of – and like,
yeah, holy, right on top.
Right on – because the visitor's bullpen is on top. That's the one closest to the fans.
Correct.
So it is – and so they're all over Mike Fetters, the bullpen coach, Brent Strom, the pitching coach, Kelly, the catcher – everybody.
Yeah.
And it must be.
What are you doing?
Hey.
What What are you doing, Joseph?
Stay in the house. Keep it down.
Oh, you're doing a podcast?
Hey.
Not that interesting.
Put that on.
Mommy,
is that Ashley?
She just got home.
I'm going to ask her when it was. I want to know when was the moment that you said I'm retiring.
I told her all the time.
Hey, we haven't talked about it yet, Bradwell.
What?
Talk about it
now. Come over. Mama. Come over here. Come over.
Zip it.
Hey.
Why are you so? Why do you have to go hard on a podcast?
I still say that to your mom. Anyway, yeah. Be nice.
Yeah, so you were looking at the warm-up.
So I can't, like, to have people in this box of people to hurl. You're in, like, this cage, and people are, I don't know. Obviously, this is next level because it's playoffs. But yeah. It's not, how do you, like, I know that you fired back that time, but, like, holy crap. It must be hard not to say stuff all the time. Do you just got to ignore it?
Yeah, for the most part, you ignore it. I say stuff all the time. I'm surprised I haven't been caught on camera. There's been numerous times where I'm warming up. And, like, I'm, like, warming up. The catch is this way, right? And say the fans are behind me. So I'll be warming up, and people just keep chirping me, and I'll get the ball back. And then I'll go like this. I'll come set. And there's been numerous times where I've just – silently just flip the bird and then throw my pitch. Boom. Flip the bird, throw my pitch. Boom. It's amazing. I'm surprised it hasn't been on video because you know how, like, I'll come set and, like, just quick pitch?
Yeah.
I'll, like, have the ball, like, in my hand and I'll flip the bird and then I'll just quick pitch, like, practice my quick pitch that way. So I'll, like, come set, like, quick pitch, come set, quick pitch, go. It's been epic. Like, the guys have bullpen have, like,
is Philadelphia the best / worst?
No, Yankee Stadium's got a good one because they're right on top of you.
Toronto is really, like, close, right?
Toronto's close now. They could get on top of you. That's a great bullpen. A lot of the places are still pretty good.
Yeah, that's great, though. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's fun. It bugs a lot of people, but my personality is fun. I could care less. But some guys get kind of rattled. But if I was a fan, I'd do the same thing, and that's what it's there for.
Listen, it's well executed. So, I nuts and bolts playoff. As we sit here taping this, the Phillies are up 2-0. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. They're hot, man.
Yeah,
their team was all around solid. They were built for the playoffs. So were the Braves. The Braves didn't play good. You got matched up with the Phillies, who are obviously really, really talented. But yeah, I mean, all you got to do is get in now with so many teams getting in, right?
Do you think that, like, that everyone talked about that layoff? You guys had the layoff. Here's your chance to either say that was a thing or not a thing.
Not for the pitchers. Pitchers love rest.
Yeah,
maybe for the. You have to ask.
Yeah, but as a team as a whole, like, so, like, everyone's trying to figure out, okay, you know, you got cold at the wrong time. Like, why did you get cold at the wrong time?
Well, I think the Braves, I don't know how they finished up, but I don't think we, for the whole month leading into the playoffs, I don't think we hit the ball. So it wasn't the layoff that did it. We just didn't really hit as well as we did, you know, when I first got traded over. You know, some guys were doing well, some guys weren't, but as a collective unit, I don't think our offensive performance was as good as it was, you know, when I first got traded over. And so, like, that break, you know, I wouldn't say made it worse. It is what it is. Like, guys had chances to have their own bats. Like, we had inter-squad games we pitched against our team. So they still had live ABs, right?
So you don't think like,
I think,
the five
– to mentally check back in, if you're not mentally tough or, like, you know, if you can't just flip the switch, so to speak, and just be like, well, and not realize how many days off, I think you're just fine. But, like, if you sit there and start thinking about it, like, man, we haven't played. Like, are we going to be rusty? Like, I could think that could obviously creep into people's minds. But for me, you know, I think in between outings, I pitched, you know, what? The last time I saw a real hitter was the first game in San Fran until, you know,
Right.
My first couple of innings in the playoffs, and that was 11 days in between outings.
It
didn't faze me. I mean, still went out and attacked, and did my job and, you know, felt great. The rest, you know, I love rest whenever I get it. Some pitchers don't. Some pitchers like to, you know, throw bullpens or, like, be on top of their game or throw off the mound before the game. But for me, you know, I'm the same pitcher. You know, it's not like I go on based on accuracy, right? I go just based on pure stuff and try to throw everything down the middle and let it work off from there. So the more rest I could get without, like, you know, ramping my body up to, you know, 110%, the better, like, my mental game is going to, like, oh, man, I've had 30 days off. Like, I can't wait to go out there and throw 103 down the middle. You know what I mean? Where other guys would be like, oh, my mechanics going to be off. Am I going to be able to spot a changeup down and away? You know, other guys are, like, kind of, you know, meticulous about those type of things, like routine and stuff like that, where, you know, my routine's different every day. You know, sometimes I drop the kids off late, sometimes I pick them up, sometimes I'm late to the field, sometimes I'm not. So, you know, I eat something different every day. You know, I don't tie my shoes the same way. You know, I might shower 2 hours before the game, put my uniform on. I might shower 10 minutes. So I've never been the guy, like, you know, superstitious where you have to do the same thing. So, you know, I guess if we had a team of, you know, whatever it is, 26 guys with the same mindset, you know, it wouldn't matter. But I can't for sure say that it's the cause of not hitting, but I can for sure say that it doesn't help. That's for sure.
Let me ask you a playoff question. Like, you watch the playoffs. Do you watch the playoffs? I don't even know.
We watch it. No. Yeah,
okay.
We watch
the games. All right. Because Kenley said he's not watching the playoffs.
No, I watch because, you know, my kids not yeah. supposed to travel.
All right. It's cool. Yeah,
I don't
cool.
understand the game. You know, like, why turn a double play here? And, you know, because he's in center field the other day and he got a line drive hit hard to him and he's playing shallow. And he tried to throw the runner out at first base. And he overthrew the first baseman. The guy took second. And we were down, you know, one run at that time. And it was like semis. And I told him after that inning, he's like, Knox, don't ever do that again, because the next pitch was a wild pitch. The guy got on third, nobody out. Luckily, our pitcher, you know, got out of the game without giving up that run. But I was like, Knox, if that guy's on first, you just overthrew the first baseman, throwing it from center field, trying to throw him out. And now, guy's on second, one wild pitch, now put it in play. Now we're down two runs to lose the game. So I want him to learn those kind of things and be more, you know, kind of more aware of the game and smarter at baseball knowledge.
Yeah. And you know what? He should listen to this podcast every single day and tell his friends. That's how you get better at baseball. But the playoffs, we talked about this, about like how you're, I don't know if you know this, you're good in the playoffs. So, but it makes me think. Yeah, I know, you know, like we've talked about this. So the psychology makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
What did you, what, by the way, what did you
first just give you a month of pitching and then playoffs?
What did, like, what was it like? If you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. I don't know if it's good or bad or whatever. When you came off, like, you gave a smirk with to Dave Roberts.
Yeah, yeah. No, Dave asked me, you know, because I thought I had the guy before that last out. I punched him out, right? I threw a heater down the middle, low, and I thought it was strike three. And so when he came out, he was like, hey, that was a strike, right? And I, like, laughed at him. I was like, it was right down the middle. For sure that was a strike. And so that was kind of our banter. And, you know, while he's talking to me, I gave the ball. I think I was about to hand it. I handed it to Muncy. I was like, oh, wait, here's the ball. Like, so, like, he asked me, he's like, because he wanted to know where the pitch was. He's like, that was a strike. And I was like, absolutely, that was a damn strike. I threw it down the middle. And he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. So that was that conversation.
Okay, so you handed it. So that's why he, like, you just handed it to Muncy by accident. And that's
because
that's why you were smiling, like, oops.
That's why I was laughing. I was like, oh, yeah. I got to give it to you, Dave.
Oh, all right. So you love that, like you said, you love to be alive, the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you also see, like, I say like to, I got to stop that. You also see players where they're crapping their pants. Like you said, you watch this. I mean, especially because I've been at Citizens Bank now for a few games during the playoffs. It's loud. Yeah, we get it. It's one of the best crowds. There's no question about it. Yeah. But you can watch a game and say, that guy's crapping his pants and that
you
guy
can see is. It in their eyes, right. Or you can see it.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with the pinch clock, too, I think it's – no one's talking about this. There's no time – when you're crapping your pants, there's no time to basically collect yourself, right?
No.
So you see guys, you've seen guys crap in their pants before.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
It's, yeah.
You either have or you don't. And that's the job of, you know, a president or a GM or even your manager and your pitching coaches. Like, you know, you want to throw the guys that, you know, aren't going to be fazed by the situation. You know, sometimes you have no choice in a long series where you have to throw the rest of the bullpen guys, or you have to throw another starter, or, you know, you have to pinch hit a guy. And, but yeah, it's fun. I mean, that's the only games on TV, right? There's not everyone else is playing. And the later on you get, like, there's only two games. And now that today there's only one game. And, you know, that's something that, you know, kind of sparks my interest, like, where it's like, well, this is the only game on TV. And if I pitch, you know, everyone's gonna be watching me. So, like, I'm going to thrive. Like, I'm going to go out there. I know I'm going to thrive. I know that, you know, what I did that day, you know, I was completely relaxed, you know, whether I mean, it was game one of the NLDS against the Diamondbacks. And, you know, I think I was the last person to show up to the field. You know, I still did my, you know, dad stuff, take the kid to school, pick him up, take a little nap. You know, I got in and Lanson's like, whoa, you got like 20 minutes till stretch. And I'm like, man, like, okay. Like, just because it's the playoffs, like, why am I going to change? You know what I mean? Like, I know that when I get on the mound, the hitters definitely crap in their pants because, number one, like, it's the playoffs. They notice that. Like, two, like, I'm wild. I throw two seamers. Like, it could hit you. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, hurt people, but it could absolutely just, you know, break a rib or end up being high and tight. So that's what makes it fun for me. And, you know, I'm a high adrenaline guy. You know, obviously, you've seen my Arizona house, the dirt bikes, and you've seen – the skateboards. I got two skateboards right here on the ground, literally 2 feet away. So it's like anything to give me an adrenaline rush I like. And so playoff baseball is what playoff baseball is my drug, I guess. Like, you know, like I said, I don't drink, I don't smoke anything. I'm completely sober. So playoff baseball is like me getting like a fifth of vodka and just downing it. Yeah, let's party. You know what I mean? So,
but you know what?
I thrive for.
I told you this. But, you know, I was keeping you up to date on interested teams, you know?
Yeah.
And they would say, like, that's what they say. They said, like, this is one of the reasons why we want Joe, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this
and
is
I'm
one of the
reasons. I'm not giving my all during the regular season.
No,
I'm
no. Crazy. But
I'm human.
But,
I'm human. So some of those day games in the middle of June, like, you know, yeah, I might go out there. I'm not mentally taking it off, and I'm not physically taking it off. But the sharpness might not be there. You know what I mean? Like, there's times, and we're all human. And it'd be stupid to say that, you know, every game you're like completely locked in. But the playoffs, you kind of know when you're gonna play, and you know when it's gonna be your chance to.
Yeah, I'm talking more about your ability to function than anything you're doing the regular season. You function when other guys can't function. That's my point. Because
oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, let's just say a team that rhymes with Tampa Bay Rays. Like, they wanted, you know, someone who could function, right? So
The Trevor Mays, exactly.
So yeah, so it's a compliment. It's a compliment to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's how many I gave you like a crap load of baseballs and boring t-shirts. I only saw you wear one. Did anyone wear those?
They did, the pitchers, but they we weren't allowed to wear them in the playoffs.
Oh.
You can't wear gear.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I don't, you have to wear like team gear and stuff.
All right. Well, listen. I'm gonna stop because Knox has to get his homework done.
Yeah, he's done four words and four math problems in that 45 minutes.
All right.
And the last now thing. He's hit baby scooters with his a T-ball bat.
Anything you want to ask me?
What's our next adventure?
Ooh. You let me stay at your house during the GM meetings. That sounds like a good adventure.
Oh, you going to him?
Oh, yeah.
In Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah.
You can stay there unless I think my dad and
I'm tight with your dad. I went over and talked to him.
Remember? Go ahead. Yeah, you can stay there.
It's the, perfect. The key,
I'll tell you where it's at.
Don't tell me where the key. Hold on.
Data community, and it's Arizona.
No. Don't do it. Don't do
my
it.
My neighbors have thousands of weapons, so go ahead.
Don't do it.
I got cameras.
All right. I don't know what our next adventure is going to be. I don't know. Whatever. Oh, it probably has to do with, I heard that you're going to be an executive producer of a movie. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I might have a chance to be in a movie, yes.
Oh, no, I didn't even say that.
Movie? Can I be in the movie?
No. Are you talking about?
The one that Riley sent.
Oh, yeah, true. That one, yeah.
Literally, all you have to do is say, I will be an executive producer.
I told him that.
I know. It's done. Let it be said. Let it be done. What movie are you going to be in?
Yeah. Oh, so it's starting to go, but it's going to be a baseball movie that Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 wants to make. And so we had a conversation briefly about what needs to happen and what he wants to do. So if that happens, I'm going to help him out a little bit. And I think a couple other guys will be in it.
All right. I love it. That's good. Maybe. All right. So the last thing is, there's a guy on Twitter. His name is NIT Stew. That's okay. His name. NIT Stew.
Oh, so when I used to have social media, I used to know that guy.
Yeah. So he literally, he writes about stuff, but every single post has an update on you.
I love that.
Just say hi to NIT.
I just know what I'm doing. You must follow my
website. No. He's like, he gives like, you know, he did whatever you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're basically like whatever's happening in the world.
It can I remember.
Be said, like, there's,
I feel like I've talked to him a long
there's
time.
There's a war going on. And by the way, Joe Kelly did this. So,
that's awesome.
So say hi to NIT Stu.
NIT Stu, my guy. Love it.
Perfect.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.